Welcome to the Gatecast.
We're off to see the wizard.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I was going to do my living room like this.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Gatecast. We don't have any funny voicemails this week, primarily because I caught Mike on the hop and decided to record on a Sunday instead.
Yeah, basically, you go online, you go on Facebook, Alan's there, what you doing?
I believe my exact phrase was, you up to out later.
Yeah, something to that effect. But that's the beauty of it, we can fit an episode in if we get a spare hour or two, and it's in the can.
Indeed. For those of you who might be interested, have a look at Wikipedia when what people are referring to as in the can.
Does that give it...
I'm assuming it's the old tin storage things they used to put films in.
That's what I would assume, but you never know, do you, really?
No. And Wikipedia, that highly cited and extraordinarily reliable source of information.
Yeah, check Wiki, then check another website to see if they're right.
Check a week to find out the general popular opinion and then check sort of online Encyclopedia yeah. Britannica or something. Apparently the Times have started charging.
That doesn't surprise me.
Dave Barry did write a column about that saying, yes, we're a newspaper. Why don't we just give away all our hard-earned work for free online?
Of course, you wonder how many people are willing to pay. Mm. That's the old business model. Do you give something away and rely on advertising? Or do you make people pay for it and, well, still rely on advertising or not?
We, by the way, do not rely on advertising, and as long as I can afford it, this podcast will remain that way.
Yeah, if you work out how many man hours goes into it, any podcast, it's amazing you can get it for free. Bargain of the century.
Well, some of the podcasts that do rely on advertising actually have decent audio quality.
Many don't.
Mm, but still rely on advertising?
Oh, there's a few out there that are sponsored.
And, of course, we have resisted so far becoming part of, you know, if you want to put in a subtle sort of imperial march in the background here, we shall not be swallowed.
Yeah, I'm going to cut that bit out.
Yes, I figured that. Even do we shall not be swallowed bit?
If I leave that in and...
Oh. Just a brief aside. I don't know if you've spotted that ad. It's a Schweppes ad, I think. He comes in and... The mother says, oh yes, such and such has picked up a sort of stray cat. And it's a bloody fully grown leopard.
Oh yeah, I did see it during the cricket. It's basically the only thing I see adverts on these days. Mm. Yeah, can we keep it, Dad?
I promise I'll look after it. And he goes to pet it and he takes his hand off. But you notice when he went to pet it, it cut away to you just saw a hand reaching for the leopard, not the actor's hand.
My God, they're even getting stunt hands for commercial actors these days. Come on, they're to a penny.
It's more, I think, it's probably a fake hand in case the leopard really did decide to take a chunk out of it. You got to consider these things. Yes, I came, I saw, I did a little shopping. It's kind of like Spaceballs, Veni, Vedi, Visa.
What's that?
I came, I saw, I did a little shopping.
Oh, Visa. Yeah, of course. Slow today.
I'm reasonably sharp. I actually went to bed around 1 and got a good 7 hours. I normally wake up around 8:30 or 9, irrespective of what time I got to bed, so now I've just given up and started going to bed earlier.
I got up, watched Titan Maximum, then watched the commentary to Ocean's 11.
Hmm.
A few films, the commentary track, have Brad Pitt, Andy Garcia, and what's his name? By Netflix, mate. No, Clooney wasn't in it.
Yeah.
Matt Damon. I mean, the commentary, was some serious talent on that commentary. And even one of them says, you know, oh, we should be talking, you know, enjoying the movie so much we're not talking. I thought, yeah, I know what you mean, mate.
Trust me, we do this every week. You might want to leave some of that in. Now, have you seen Star Trek of Gods and Men?
Yeah.
I watched it on Friday.
That's the first one, isn't it?
There's another one?
Yeah, they've made about 4 now.
With those actors in it?
Yeah. It's a whole series of little mini shows.
This is, apparently somebody said on YouTube it was a 3-part. It's the whole thing strung together into a coherent movie.
Yeah, go to the website. You'll see there's about 3 or 4 episodes now.
Should I have actually paid for it?
No.
Oh, good, because I turned it.
Oh, yeah.
Walter Koenig seemed to be having good fun. Difficulty seeing him as anything other than Bester, because Chekhov didn't really make much of an impact on his character.
I think he did. Well, obviously, he made his name as Chekhov, and that's probably brought him the most money. But as Bester, I think he had a much better part in Babylon 5.
Oh, yeah.
Much better.
especially that exchange between him and Sheridan. I can't remember what Besser says, but Sheridan's response was, I'd like to nail your head to the desk, set fire to it and flush the remains out the airlock, but we can't always get what we want. Or I think it's the universe is destined to leave us disappointed.
Yeah, good series, that.
I've said this before, in terms of pure resonance of voice, even if he was a little wooden, I thought Michael O'Hare sounded a lot better, you know?
Mm.
Good sort of deep, booming bass theatre voice.
He had the, he was from a theatre background, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But he was the Admiral Nelson type character, as opposed to the kind of the more swashbuckling Sinclair. No, not Sinclair. No, the other way around, isn't it?
Sheridan. He did do that. He said that in outtake.
Bruce Boxenlighter was Sheridan.
Bruce Boxenlighter, the link beeps, and he hits it and goes, Sinclair, and the whole crew just collapsed with laughter. It was B5 NASA used to look at on the satellite feed.
Yes, it was.
The Treks in Sci-Fi Podcast.
Stand by to receive our transmission.
Sci-Fi entertainment news and commentary.
I am Locutus of Borg.
Star Trek episode analysis.
Captain of the USS Enterprise.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons.
Collectibles, toy, and prop reviews.
I am to misbehave.
The weekly Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with your host Rico at treksinscifi.com.
Right then, are you ready to go?
Yep, I've got me line. Your line's all ready.
Yes, quite. Anyway, in 3, 2, 1, click. Line roars, line freezes.
Line roars again.
And we cut to...
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Kids. Yeah, you know, the thing is, with those headscarves, they look like leukemia patients.
They do a bit, don't they?
And the Stargate is pink. Why is the Stargate pink?
I'm going to say a redress
just
gate room.
The lighting.
Oh, yeah, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't go to the effort of painting the actual gate.
Well, that could be the travel gate, because it's not moving.
That's true.
It's okay, it's just my friend's return.
But then again, that room does look like the gate room dimensions, doesn't it?
Do you know the transcript actually says the Stargate kawooshes?
Kawooshes?
Kawooshes. K-W-A-O-O-S-H-E-S.
Did it slip over then? Hmm? It looks like Jack nearly slipped over then, which is a pretty clever thing to do when you just walk in one step forward.
Hmm. Hello, children. Daniel? No child labor laws here on Orban?
No, these are Rome.
Child labor laws.
Yes. Still the slightly disturbing expression on that child's face.
It's just kind of the way they do things. Look at this. Chalchihuitlake, the Aztec goddess of water.
I can't remember what the issue was with this and what was weird about the kids.
Well, we'll learn as we go along then, shan't we?
Hmm.
That is, if General Hammond said yes, he did say
he said yes.
You're being cruel now. I recognise him.
Yes, Andrew Ely. He's been in quite a few things. Last was Defying Gravity, the science fiction show.
Carter's eager as well. She's really looking forward to it. So's Teal'c.
I will share my knowledge of the Goa'uld freely.
Some very nice lines from Jack here.
Teal'c's eager on the inside.
Teal'c's eager on the inside.
Well, it's hard to gauge Teal'c unless you know him, don't you?
Do we know him after 3 seasons? What other vital piece of strategic information is he going to drop in some episode?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I forgot to mention this.
I've got a twin.
I've got a good twin.
So, an information exchange. This is quite a constructive idea.
Have fun. I know you will.
Teal'c. Make friends, as always.
Books to Earth.
Nice shot. I like the... You actually saw the side of the unstable wormhole come out in front of you. I'm wondering how close you were standing to that.
It's a bit worrying.
Isn't it?
Even if I knew exactly what the gate did, I'd still always set that extra 2 steps back.
And that's a Nakoda reactor.
That's a very modern Nakoda reactor.
It's basically a... like a cuboid with interesting symbols on it.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably an Airfix model glued to a cardboard box.
It's the first early Borg cube. It didn't quite come out right. It's a Borg rectangle.
Yeah, it's more of a rectangle.
Major Carter, please allow Marin to present you with this Nakoda reactor. You may study it for the duration of our exchange.
Thank you.
If you will allow, I would like to offer a tour of...
The exchange has been made.
Oh, God, don't tell me Carter's going to have a relationship with this one. Give up, Carter. Anyone you have a relationship with dies. Leave the poor man alone. I'm sure he's got a family.
Maybe someone needs to teach me how to use this thing.
Please explain what you mean by this.
I'm going to say this, Kalan makes the assumption that Sam knows all about this technology, that she can figure it out herself. That's the first idea we get, that these people do things a little bit differently.
I will teach you.
Oh, now I remember what happens.
Yeah.
They're a bit thick because the little micro thingies, nanites.
Yeah, sort of like that. Yeah, Merrin, played by Brittany Irvin, who was Stargirl in Smallville. And she was also in...
that far.
And she was also in V, the new series.
Written by Heather E. Ash, a new one.
Yeah, yep. This was her first script. Actually went straight to the actors without getting a rewrite.
Hmm.
And she's written 6 episodes for the series and then went on to be story editor. She did well for herself.
Hmm. Directed by Martin Wood.
Yeah.
One of our showrunners. Who's... This disc, my volume 2 has 5 episodes in it.
Oh, lucky you.
Well, it says we have to go downstairs and get a new disc. Which I have to do this morning. I'll be open on... I think that's a new shot.
Major Carter will show you the lab. But before you get started, Marin, I'd like you to visit our infirmary.
Standard procedure, nothing to be afraid of.
Oh, dear, they're patronizing the child.
Well,
you'd have thought Carter would know better.
So, Marin, I understand you're a reactor expert.
Yes.
How old are you?
I'm 11. How old are you?
So that's Brittany Irwin.
Yes. No comment.
I understand you're a reactor expert.
Yeah. No, she didn't answer, though.
Ah, funky city.
Yes, funky matte painting.
That's it. Direction. Make it look heavy.
In fairness, he could well be... What are they doing?
Well, Daniel's basically tearing up the floor. And the whole floor used to be concrete paved, and he's taking it all...
This is my son, Tolman. He is also a rogue. Teok, you will please tell him of the Goa'uld.
They refer to it as the Elosion. That's just come to me. The transfer of knowledge.
No,
You're most generous to offer your knowledge, Teok.
Kaelin, there was an apprentice here earlier, Zarin. Do you know where she went?
Zarin is not here. It was past her time to experience her Avarium.
Avarium? Is that like a graduation?
That is an approximate definition. Dr. Jackson, you expressed an interest in viewing the city. It is advantageous to see the Pyramid of Suns in daylight.
Yes, absolutely.
Teok, you will please remain here with Tommen.
There we go. Avarium.
Yeah. What is the other bit?
Is what?
It is advantageous to see the Pyramid of Suns in daylight. Well,
yeah.
I'd imagine so. You know, it's called the Pyramid of Suns.
Yeah, Pyramid of the Moon. Well, we'll do that at night. And that leaves...
The things at night.
Teok and little Tommen together.
Ridiculously over-freckled. Do you think that's makeup?
I wouldn't have thought so.
Even I didn't have that many freckles. Okay.
Tomin's played by Lachlan Murdoch.
Murdoch.
Yeah. Who actually stars in the Murdoch Mysteries.
Really?
Yep.
I presume he's an adult.
He is now, yes.
I think I understand now why the Goa'uld are so feared.
Hurts a little bit, huh? You are being very brave.
Hmm.
Now that's patronising.
Oh, that's extraordinarily patronising. Can you actually hear my audio in the background?
No.
Oh, good. I can. That's fine. That seems to work.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you can hear that dog barking, you know, the other day, and I thought it was real loud.
Yeah, I might actually open the window. It's rather warm in here.
No, there are lots of intelligent people around here. Just not as young as you.
You mean you were not always as smart as you are now?
No, we spent a long time in school to get to this point.
Please explain what school is.
School is a place where you go to learn. A teacher gives you information, and you take different classes to learn different subjects.
So this is how you and Dr. Fraser became scientists?
Mm-hmm.
You aren't a scientist?
Oh, no.
Then you were not as smart as Major Carter and Dr. Fraser.
Ooh, singer.
Hmm. I presume they couldn't persuade the actor to cut her hair. What is it with these 1980s fringes? Yeah, the old bowl haircut.
We should be thankful they're working on a military race and uniforms are pretty standardised.
Hmm.
If it was a private organisation, you could have all sorts of things.
Jack's not looking as grey this week.
No.
I wonder, was this episode actually filmed? I mean, did they film them in order?
I would imagine they were in a vague order. The production order rarely varies alarmingly from the broadcast order.
Hmm. With some notable exceptions in certain other TV series we were discussing earlier off air.
It's whatever you do when you're not learning to be a rocket scientist.
I'm here to teach Major Carter about the reactor.
Sounds like fun to me.
Not to Jack.
obviously, some new definition of fun with which I'm unfamiliar. Which I've discovered, having listened to H2G2 as read by the author, is not an accurate quote. Either that or I'm caught in the radio play.
No, Jack's sitting in a bit. Brick wall here. Mm. No, he's not as clever as Sam or Janet, but he spent his time having fun in school.
Yes. Jack was probably a bully.
What happens if you do not find a host for this Goa'uld?
It will die.
If the Goa'uld dies, then you will die as well? That would be unfortunate.
Some serious bonding going on here between Tilk and Tomin.
Yes.
Again, a son substitute, which has been used before with Jack.
But he doesn't need a son substitute. He has Ryak.
Which he can't really visit, can he?
Be that as it may. Ah, mad painting with people.
Which wouldn't mean anything to you, but it is significant. But you said we are Aztec.
No, these people predated the Aztecs.
Okay, look. These pictures form a narrative. Now, whatever's under this platform may tell us exactly how your people came to be on Orban. You will explain this to Tomin.
It's bad enough Daniel in full flight trying to explain to someone who is up to speed.
Is anyone actually up to speed with Daniel? I mean, let's face it.
That's it. A bit slower. Pretty pictures. Story.
Yes.
Now, I think that your people could be the descendants of that civilization.
Do you believe the arrival of the Goa'uld caused Teotihuacan's downfall?
Yes.
Brace yourself, kid.
Even Teok's a little puzzled.
Yeah, I'm going to say, it's even a bit suspicious.
Mm.
At the very least, you know, Teok and Daniel should be saying, you know, these kids are very intelligent and the adults are thick.
Mm.
What? When did we talk about the heating element?
In the very beginning, when I described the Fodnir.
Keep up, Sam.
Oh, man. Can't be this hard.
I will begin again.
No, wait. Let's try this a different way. How about we break everything down into its most basic components? Let's start with the reactor casing. What's it made of?
Sam's embarrassed that you can't keep up with an 11-year-old.
Well, that's a problem. Merin is so intelligent, she can't even begin to grasp what basics mean to Sam's perspective.
It'll have to block radiation, so we'll make it lead-lined.
It might be a bit heavy then.
Mm.
Surely we can find some sort of alien mineral that'll do the job. Always helps to keep the narrative flowing.
Mm-hmm.
Major, if you don't mind, I'd like to see Marin in the infirmary again. Just a couple of follow-up tests.
She's smiling, but her eyes are going, ah.
What have we done?
Grab her, lads.
Why is the reactor on if they haven't got it shielded?
Well, that reactor's shielded. Sam's just thinking about what she would need to reproduce it.
Marin's blood work shows trace levels of silicon, trinium, and some other element I have never seen before. Now, I think it's a mineral, but it is definitely not found on Earth.
Okay, even I know that's bad.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jack.
Let's go the whole way and actually reference the mission report.
Yay, nanite.
What?
A nanite.
She's got nanites in her blood?
Yes, however, it still didn't explain Marin's abnormally high neuropeptide levels. So I did a computer-enhanced MRI. You ready for this one?
You get the feeling Janet's enjoying this.
Really? Jack's like, oh, pretty pictures.
There's millions of them. They've infested that little girl's brain.
I say most of the time Janet's having to guess what's happening, but here she knows exactly what's happening.
I put the base on a ThreatCom Bravo. Doctor, get blood samples from everyone. I want to know how far those nanites have spread.
Yes.
No, Jack, of course, she doesn't know what's going on.
Marin, we've run into these little beggars before, and they're anything but harmless.
We encountered a civilization in which the Goa'uld used a similar method, nanocytes, to accelerate the age of a population. Colonel O'Neill was adversely affected.
Oish.
Adversely affected? That I think, is putting it mildly.
Tori, 49 years ago. All of my people have them.
Now, that's surprising. I'd have thought they'd have this technology for longer. I mean, 49 years, that would say that there's people around who knew how things were done beforehand, whereas we learn later, the whole concept of a different style of education is foreign to them. She's doing the job of an intelligent young girl very, very well.
Mm-hmm. I imagine she's probably actually 13 or 14 rather than 11.
Yes, that would be likely. IMDb?
You hear clickage?
I hear clickage.
So you can't hear the audio, but you can hear me clicking.
I can hear the keyboard.
I hadn't actually hit the keyboard at that point, it was just a mouse. What's your one's name again?
Brittany Irwin, born 1984.
Well, you've already done that.
So this is in, 1999, so she was 14, 15.
Oh, I don't think that would be necessary. Do you, General?
If you think it's safe, Major Carter, then you can continue to work, but I still want those blood samples, Doctor.
Yes, sir.
Father, I wish to undergo the ovarium immediately.
Tommen, it is 6 months until you turn 12.
I'm concerned by what Keelkers told me of these Goa'uld. If they learn of our existence, they will destroy us. The studies I have made as a new one about defense technologies must now be put to use so that Orban can begin preparations.
I will notify the elders. You've learned well, my son. I am proud.
Ah, so Tormund, what he's learnt from Teal'c has scared the beep out of him.
Yes, and he's going to beep the beep with the beep beep.
That does not look like an Aquita reactor core.
Yeah, well, I had to improvise since we're only using a microscopic amount of Aquita. How about you sketch it for me?
What?
Draw me your reactor core. Give me an idea of what it looks like.
I don't draw.
You don't draw? Everyone draws.
No. It is not something I am required to do. I've never had to draw before.
Oh. Well, it's pretty easy. Here. See?
What is that?
It's a picture of me.
Yes. No eyes either, actually. It's frightening. Is that how you see yourself, Sam?
Sam, I hate to tell you, but you're not that thin.
See, that's all I need from you is just a basic representation of the reactor's core.
Anyway, it's another brick wall.
All right. But this paper is not large enough.
Okay. I know it's good for the story, you know. Expanding it out, the discovery of what these children are.
How's this?
That will do.
But Sam and all of them should be smart enough to realise there's something wrong here.
Yeah, the alarm bell's not going off yet.
I'd say there's quite a bit of dead air in this episode.
Yeah.
It's one you probably do have to watch, because it's all pretty peaches.
He's still...
I'm not sure I'd be happy with Daniel just hammering away. I know they're excavating something.
Yes.
This proves the Goa'uld were here sometime in the last few hundred years. Now we just need to figure out why they left.
Okay, I think you could argue that looks something like something Egyptian.
Dr. Jackson, I brought the tools. You asked. Teal'c, You will please tell Solan methods to fight the Gua'uld, which weapons and strategies have been effective in their defeat. Also, anything in your experience as first prime to Apophis that would be of assistance.
It is an honor to accept your knowledge, Teal'c.
I wonder what sort of percentage of children are...
Ovariumed.
Yeah.
All of them?
No, not all of them. Because I mean, they state that some children actually receive the nanites after the kids go through.
Please, you will talk to Solan.
Well, Teal'c has a point. I mean, if they've already established a rapport...
I've told you it is impossible for Tormund to be here. He has gone through the ovarium.
Hmm. Yes. They don't know
he's been taken to a nice farm in the country where he can run around and play.
Teal'c is ticked off.
Yeah, I say, you think he liked the lad. He might not have liked him if he'd been a real, you know, a normal 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the combination of the intelligence and the kid.
Colonel O'Neill, I need 15 sheets of paper at least 48 centimeters by 23 centimeters.
Oh, that's fine. Why don't you just ask...
Carter's asleep.
Excuse me. Carter!
I love the way Sam's little room is all decked out in computers and whatnot, and Daniel's is all artifacts.
Yes. And Jack's seems largely empty.
It does, doesn't it? And Teal'c has one chair and a rug.
And about 5 billion candles.
Well, I cannot represent the reactor core on a three-dimensional plane, so I depicted several layers of the reactor's interior. With additional supplies, I can finish the remaining layers.
Cross-sections? Of course. If I scan these into the computer, I can come up with a three-dimensional representation of the reactor's interior.
All right. Will you two give it a rest? Both of you.
You see his eyes glazing over then.
I do not need to. Your own children require a little sleep.
Okay, now I am jealous.
Yeah,
that's handy.
Yes.
You sleep. Young lady, if not sleep, fun.
No, I need 15 sheets of paper at least 43 centimeters by 28 centimeters.
15?
Colonel O'Neill, I require some of these pencils as well.
Fun.
Oh, so many things choked back by Jack there that he really wanted to say.
That's a long corridor. And then we get the revelation of what's happened to this Tommen.
Do you not recognize me? It is Teal'c. Kaelin!
No, that's not going to work, Teal'c. Just shouting at him.
Explain this ovarium.
It is the ceremony in which an Uron's nanites are removed and then distributed. Each adult and each non-Uron child then receives an injection containing one nanite, which becomes part of his or her synaptic network, adding to those nanites received from previous ovariums.
So when you say he gave you his knowledge, you meant it literally.
It was a beautiful ceremony.
Which, when you think about it, is a pretty good way to spread knowledge around. Obviously, there's limitations, because when they get so tied up in this method, they actually don't think there's any other way.
Don't you play with him?
Well, what is play?
Interacting with him, teaching him new things.
These children cannot be taught.
Have you ever tried?
Oh, yes, but past Uron children cannot receive new nanites. The brain rejects them.
Well, have you ever tried teaching him without nanites?
What do you mean?
Yeah, that's it. The only thing they've tried is to give him nanites from another child. And unless you think there's a solution, you don't go looking for one.
No, they're sort of... It's actually disturbing when you think about it.
Well, like any culture, you know, even the cultures of South America's, where human sacrifice was accepted or normal, it goes beyond a sacrifice. It becomes an honour to be chosen.
Yeah. I'm going to give you two words that most ethics committees would use. Informed consent.
Well, the problem here, of course, is once the kids get the nanites when they're born, they are the most intelligent and can make an informed decision. But, of course, it's self-perpetuating, isn't it? Every generation is taught what the other one learned, and the other one's learned that it was all right.
Yeah, but it's only been happening for 49 years, so we've only gone through about three generations.
That's where this story falls down. It should have been something like 149 or 1,049.
I think the argument would be if they've been doing it that long, they'd have gained a lot more knowledge. Maybe the Gould only left 50 years ago.
Could be.
Yes, I say Gould the way Jack does. If you recall, GWC actually had a discussion on how many syllables should be in that word.
Go out.
go, ooh.
Well, it's actually a good part of the show where the different characters say it differently, which is exactly what you'd get in normal life.
We do not see this as wrong.
Well, then we need to make them understand.
Teal'c returned to orbit. Well, before we risk an interplanetary incident, I'd like to try the diplomatic route first.
And this is an argument they are simply not going to win.
Why does Daniel look... It looks like either he's tanned or his face is filthy.
Well, he's been archaeologing, hasn't he?
Archaeologing.
Excavating.
Sorry,
digging.
That's not a word.
He's been chipping away at stones for the last 2 days. And he hasn't had a shower or a battery.
Too.
Oh, that works, doesn't it?
Okay, I think we can work this out. We just need to sit down and discuss some alternatives.
There are no alternatives. Marin must undergo the Avarium. You will return her immediately.
I think the idea of the exchange was she'd be there for a few days, he'd be there for a few days.
But when they take out these nanite things, they also take out everything that makes you, you.
But my people will have my knowledge.
But you won't.
Oh, this ain't good. I say it's kind of hitting home to all the SG-1, or at least those with kids.
Well, Jack doesn't have kids anymore.
Or those who had kids.
Well, they... General has nieces, doesn't he? Not grandchildren. Yeah. Sam doesn't have kids, but she's getting awfully broody.
Colonel, a word, please.
Teal'c.
Kalen refused our request. Daniel Jackson remained behind to attempt to alter his position.
Well, good. That'll give us a chance to make Marin understand.
No, but she had Cassandra, so, you know, the bond was pretty similar.
How the hell do you bond the Rogu with your child after a day or two? I mean, come on.
Oh, probably because she was willing to die with her.
Even so.
Teal'c, do you foresee any danger to Dr. Jackson if he stays on orbit?
I do not believe Daniel Jackson will be harmed.
I'll give it 48 hours.
So, Marin, looks like you're going to be spending a little more time with us.
Please return me to Orban.
You do understand we're trying to help, right?
I don't need your help.
Oh, isn't she contemptuous?
Well, she's right. I mean, this is getting to the point, you know, similar to TNG at its worst. We know what's best for this alien species, so we'll change them to make sure they do what we want.
If you don't transmit a special code, they will close the iris and you won't get through. You will die.
Please explain this, Cyrus.
Yeah, tell him about the iris.
Argument.
If you will not explain it, then transmit the code.
I'm sorry.
You claim to love knowledge, yet when you find something you don't like, you demand that we change to please you.
No, it is not to please me. You are an incredibly advanced society. Why can't you find a better way to educate your people?
There is no better way than the Avarium.
Ooh.
Because there'll be plenty of people who argue our way isn't exactly efficient.
Yeah.
And results in a lot of children who aren't capable of living in modern society.
Mm.
And you never once thought otherwise. Not once. And neither did Tolman. And what if Marin does? Marin is one of only a few Uron children, and the only one to have spent 10 years learning the Naquita technology. Without her Avarium, the people who are awaiting her knowledge to continue their research, they will have to wait 12 years for another Uron to learn.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It'd be an interesting idea. You know, we know if you want to learn a language, the best time is when you're a youngster.
Mm-hmm. I read a short story about kids who were frozen at age 11.
Yeah.
In order to retain neural plasticity.
All right.
You know, for like, you know, 30 or 40 years.
That's a bit like the show Kyle XY.
Haven't seen it.
No, but a human being who was cloned but kept in suspended animation while he was young and, for, you know, for decades fed information, probably for the same basic ideas that a younger brain was able to adapt and accept this information more readily.
But if they're in suspended animation, how has the knowledge been absorbed?
His brain was being used like a computer storage device.
More like Chuck, then.
That as a scientist you would understand.
Marin, you're only 11. Half the interesting things in my life didn't happen until I turned 15.
What kind of interesting things?
Oh, just, stuff.
Yeah, just stuff. But surely, what was Sam doing at 15? That's surely below the age of consent for anything in America.
What?
well, some of the best things that happened to Sam happened after she was 15.
Thank you. But I don't think that would make a difference.
You are finished.
Almost. Once I ran a computer simulation based on your sketches, I thought I could adapt the design to my materials. But the current is being diverted before it reaches the core. I think the shielding might be diverting power.
Major Carter,
unless... Hey, the trinium is absorbing the current.
Correct. Well,
wait.
Now that Naquita reactor looks more like what it became.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to spoil it for her. Just tell her the answers.
Okay, by reversing the polarity...
Did she just say that?
Yes. She just said reversing the polarity.
I know. That's embarrassing, isn't it? Surely they could have come up with anything that would have been better than that.
It's Trek speak, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Anything can have its polarity reversed.
Well, yeah. I'm figuring something out on my own, especially if it's been eluding me a while. It's far more satisfying than having the answer given to me.
But not as efficient.
And that sums up the basic concept, isn't it?
I can speak from personal experience. It's always, when I've been analysing a problem from an IT perspective and I come up with a solution, there's a sort of eureka moment. It's like, yay, I fixed it. And Neil, of course, cuts through all the bullshit.
Before you say anything, know that I have already granted his request.
I don't like it either, Jack, but you don't know the effect this is having on the Arbanians.
What about the effect it's having on Marin?
Your Dr. Jackson has come to realize Marin's importance to her people.
Her importance as a vegetable?
Colonel,
if you would try to understand...
No! I won't.
Said with just the right amount of contempt.
As in all of it?
Yes.
Request permission to be excused, sir.
You know, you don't request permission to be excused and then walk out without receiving it.
No, probably not the best idea.
We did it! Let me record these readings.
What the heck was that?
Reactor worked.
Carter. Yes, sir, we're fine. Yeah, it was just the reactor. No, sir, just an initial energy pulse. There's no threat to the base.
Amanda said that without, you know, behind their back, the prop guys actually built vibration units into that table so it would shake when it went off. So
don't
blow it up. That's probably why you should tell them beforehand. We're going to switch on what is something far more powerful than a nuclear reactor.
With unknown radiation.
Yeah. One I've just built. Not the one we were given by the aliens. One I've built myself.
Yeah. I made this.
I made this.
What TV tag is that? You remember it, don't you?
Yeah. Oh, what was it?
Emails to gatecast@phasecast.com, people. What TV tag ends with, I made this. No unfair Googling. You see, if we actually had a decent number of Twitter followers, somebody could tell us.
No, I don't.
In the future, Major, before you activate any device that includes the word reactor, I would appreciate it if you would notify me.
Of course, sir. It won't happen again.
Good.
You tell her, General.
I think you should drop that line in before you activate any device that includes the word reactor. It's not unreasonable.
Or anything. Fire staff weapons at strange alien blue crystals, or touch two elements together, see what happens.
Colonel O'Neill attempts to leave. You're ordered to... How long ago? I see.
He looks a little weird there.
He wants to go to the loo. He's standing very still. Quick, hurry up.
This is a school?
It is. Inman Elementary in Burnaby.
Vancouver?
Yes.
Here's the thing.
What is it for?
Well, just watch. Bambinas! Cacarice, California, pizzeria! Mamma mia!
Okay, I don't understand why Jack's speaking Italian.
Kids, I want you to meet my friend. Her name's Marin. Think you can show around while I talk?
Yeah, half the kids start to call in her names and beating her up.
Yes. Look at the ball kind of going.
And got their work cut out. I used to play that.
Is this where Cassie goes to school?
Yes, it was. But she's left now and gone to junior high.
Yeah.
Mm.
asking when you're coming back to see us. How's Cassandra enjoying junior high?
Oh, she's doing fine. Yeah. She loves it.
So this is a regular occurrence, Jack turning up with a young
strange
girl.
Strange alien girls. Is Jack in a child smuggling ring at this point?
The teacher saying, and is this one from Toronto as well?
Visiting. From out of town.
Well, we have art scheduled after recess.
That's perfect.
And the rest of the kids are thinking, hang on a minute, how come she gets to paint? I've got to sit here and draw.
Be nice to our guest.
Could be a person or an object. Just use your imaginations.
Hmm. Well,
oh, nicely done.
I look fat. Good on you.
And she shrugs as well.
This brush is too wide to accurately render the wires.
Okay, let's try this again. Something you love. Something that's not a machine, okay?
Yeah.
No, that's ticked off.
It's pretty difficult explaining a brand new concept to somebody, though.
Mm-hmm.
And Jack's probably not the best person to do it anyway.
No.
We're probably fortunate the base didn't have a full-time psychologist on board.
Bigger.
And she's never going to make an impressionist, is she?
No.
Hmm. I mean, I fully agree here. If you're going to paint something that's accurate representation, just take a picture.
Mm-hmm.
There's no purple.
Use red.
If I could have another cup, I could mix the blue with the red.
Make the flower red.
But those flowers were purple. You asked me to draw a flower, but you do not give me the means to do this accurately.
Marin, listen to me. It doesn't have to be exact. Paint me a flower. I don't care what it looks like. Use this. And don't stop with one. Paint the whole garden.
But...
I like his comment about the painting the kid has done of him. I look fat. Well, yeah, she was obviously painting you as you are in Stargate Universe, Colonel.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Who's that?
It's a representation of Major Carter.
Of course it is.
Of course it is.
Is it right?
Oh, yeah. It's way more than right.
Yes.
Man, do you think he's actually got through to her?
To an extent, but she's still not willing to not have her brain sucked out. And now I have images of zombies from Return of the Living Dead.
All you have to do is ask. I'll find a way to make it happen.
I have a duty to my people. My knowledge is important to them.
It's actually a pity they couldn't take out all the nanites except one and leave the kid with that.
Yes, but would that actually leave the kid functioning?
Unfortunately, the test used up the last of our Naquita, but we'll find more.
At least we've got a working prototype.
Garner?
I'm not here to cause troubles.
Oh.
Colonel O'Neill?
Yeah.
I have something for you.
Big box of crayons, 36 colors.
Ooh. 36, not... Oh, it's called 96 crayons.
Yes.
Crayola. Product placement.
Oh, for God's sake.
They could have used a no-name brand.
You are mad at me for not staying.
No. No, I'm not.
Then you understand.
This is a Charlie moment, isn't it? Very nice.
He's already retired once. He doesn't care if he gets court-martialed. He'll go to Brocca or something. Did you say Brocca does seem to be the dumping ground for random aliens for them, doesn't it?
Well, that's why you should never extend your hospitality without some limits put on it.
Qualifiers.
Yeah.
You've already given me more than enough reason for a court-martial.
Sorry, I'm looking for something.
General, for a few hours today, I got to show that little girl how to be a kid. If you want to punish me, go ahead.
So, they're taking the generator back and the crayons.
Oh, yay, I found it.
On behalf of the citizens of Orbon, I'd like to thank you for the experience you have given me and to my people. I have learned much in my time here.
So have we.
And that's the interesting line. Mm. Well, she has learnt. And technically, you could argue she wasn't here to learn anything.
Nope.
She wasn't intended to stay, for a start.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Just that little piece of music. It's so melancholy.
Mm. We just received a transmission from Orbat. Caitlin asked for all of you to go there right away.
Something wrong?
You'll find out when you get there.
Gear up?
Yeah.
Do they gear up or are they just going to, because it's friendly, yeah.
They do gear up big time.
Well, that's how they right away then, is it?
They've got their MP4s, they've got the Zats.
Thank you for coming. What's wrong? Oh, nothing is wrong. I will show you.
Mm-hmm. Tilk did at least leave his staff weapon behind.
He hasn't been carrying it around much recently, has he?
No. I say, he favours the Zat now, which makes a lot more sense. It's just as useful a weapon.
Hmm.
Yes, recess.
Indeed.
Come! Look! Isn't it wonderful?
They'll be having hall monitors and prefects next.
And bullying, and name-calling.
Yes.
And swirlies.
It never ends well.
Mm. So then. Colonel O'Neill, this is my son, Toman. I am teaching him. All of the past Uron children will now learn, in the old-fashioned way, as you might say. He will know all that you have done for Orbon.
He's probably said, and now, Mr. Young Lachlan, you've got to skip with the ladies.
Yes. He's given the sort of blank look of a child that hasn't been given any lines.
Isn't it?
Me.
this is good.
Caitlin, when did all this start?
Last night, after Marin's avarium.
She must have known this would happen once her nanites were transferred.
This is what she learned.
In a way, this coach has been changed dramatically over one decision.
Mm-hmm.
This one little girl's changed mm-hmm. their culture forever.
Cool. We need to brainwash them properly. That's not a tattoo. The transcript refers to that as a tattoo.
I know. It's like when he presses it, you can actually see his skin around it moving.
Hmm. Remember drawing on walls as a kid?
Yeah. You do that, 10 years later, you get smacked and arrested.
Hi, Marin. Okay.
No, these days you smack your 10-year-old kid, you get arrested.
I guess we'll just have to get to know one another all over again.
They might have to invent paint, because she's going to get through them cranes no end, and he's writing on wall, solid stone.
Well,
you're right. What was I thinking?
You ever seen a dog? Dogs are my favorite people.
What yes. was I thinking?
I'm impressed.
I just have images of a big wooden crate full of boxes of crayons.
Yeah.
And real, the share price skyrocketing.
Well, that's a typically the American trade-off, isn't it? We'll give you these blankets and you give us Manhattan Island. You give us a Nakroa reactor and we'll give you these box of crayons. It worked before, it worked again.
Well, a bit slow from around minute 15 to about minute 24 or so.
So
there was sort of an 8-minute section there in the middle that was kind of...
Yeah.
I was thinking, oh, God, come
well,
on.
Yeah, because so we were watching it thinking, you know, well, there's nothing really you can say about it because they're just, you know, they're walking to the cupboard, getting some paper, walking back. Is this big enough? And, you know, it's not
it's
actually
a difficult episode to
story.
Well, it's establishing a rapport, so you feel sorry for her before she gets, you know, lobotomized.
Yeah, and basically that is what they were doing to him. It may have been done in a more technically advanced and harmless way, but that was the final result. I'll say it probably wouldn't have mattered if they'd found a way to make sure the kids remain part of the community rather than being pretty much shut away and left as is, hopefully. Because we don't see these people again. You assume that in the generations to come, these children do go on to have good lives.
Well, I would hope so, but...
There may even be, you know, a counterculture in this society. Those with nanites and those without. And in 100 years,
well, I mean,
civil
hang
war.
On, they're playing, so presumably they got injected with a nanite as well.
Oh, you think they're normal children then?
No, I think they're the... I think they got injected... You see, I mean, she's effectively erased because most of her nanites are gone.
Ah, yeah, but they did say they can't be implanted again a second time. Their brains reject them. So they must have been the children that had been through the process and would have been pretty much, you know, vegetables for the rest of their lives. So like I say, you could see a them and us situation developing. In 100 years' time, Earth revisits the world and find it destroyed by a civil war. And the survivors are worshipping a giant crayon.
You're evil.
Well, you know, you've got to think about these things, haven't you? I suppose any showrunner or writers, do they think up something new or do they take an existing story and see what they can develop from it? And they do both in this series.
Well, you know, they did go for 10 years. They had...
Yeah, they had to cannibalise a lot of things.
They had time to explore.
Well, that's one of the criticisms of Atlantis. At times they were just rehashing SG-1 stories. But that's the way of the world, isn't it? Very few original ideas around these days.
Indeed not. Where am I going?
I don't know.
Sorry, I'm looking for something. Okay, email segment, which hopefully will go out 2 days after we record this. We have, it's not so much email because we didn't actually get any email, but we do have two small pieces. We have Thomas Schott. Hey guys, love your podcast. I've recently started listening. I've heard a few different podcasts, and yours by far is the best one I've heard. Mike, ever self-depreciating response. Mike, you can read your own.
Do I have to?
It's you that posted it. You're here, yes. It would be really weird if I was reading out what you typed. I mean, come on. Give me
a I'd say you need to listen to some more then. Just kidding. We are doing this for fun. It's great. If anyone likes what we're doing, feel free to send any comments on upcoming shows for inclusion. Audio comments would be a bonus.
Thomas Schott, thanks. I will see what I can do. You have to mind my Southern US accent, though. I'm not deep south, but I've got a bit more of a Southern accent. Oh, this is where my comic came in. Different accents are a variety between Mike's up north one and my random bits of Ireland with occasional Somerset twang one. Welcome, welcome all.
I'm from the Midlands, goddammit. That was written in the Bones inflection.
The Bones inflection?
Well, imagine Bones McCoy saying that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been watching a lot of the...
Oh, you thought of David Burns.
Well, no, I was thinking you were going more for actually... I can't remember the actress's name. But Temperance Brennan, I'm kind of thinking, okay, it's something about Mike, I need to know.
Zoe's sister. Sorry, I can't remember her name, but she's Zoe's sister.
Stephen Jones says he's more north than you.
Yeah, he is. You're probably more north than me.
Yeah, but I'm in a different country.
That doesn't matter. If an Eskimo says, oh, he's more north, I'd go, yes, you are. It doesn't matter that you're in a different country.
We have the rather unpronounceable... I kind of pronounce unpronounceable. The rather difficult to say Leilani Cantu. I've probably utterly butchered that.
Leilani.
Yeah, that's it.
It's Leilani Cantu.
Thank you, Scott. I knew you were useful for something. Just discovered your podcast recently via the JIT. Oh, no, I'm not going to attempt a high-pitched female voice. Forget it. Just discovered your podcast recently via the GWC crossover event! Exclamation mark. Colon. Close bracket. Now I'm catching up on past episodes with a vengeance. Full stop. Thanks for making our working days more enjoyable! Exclamation mark. You don't need to read your... Mike goes on to say something about the fact that he can't listen to 10 hours a day anymore.
Yeah.
That's pretty much...
Then it's me again.
You talk a lot.
Are you attempting to sort of prep for singing? Me. Are we? No, we're nowhere near episode 100. That's like halfway through season 5. Was episode 100 the one with the barber, or was that a much later one?
I think episode 100 was the episode with, I think it was the guy that was that became the producer of...
Yeah, Wormhole Extreme,
Wormhole Extreme.
Yeah.
Episode 200 also.
Anyway, I'm going to go downstairs and have a Twix.
Okay.
Which is living where all good chocolate lives, the freezer.
The freezer? Good God.
That's where chocolate lives. Chocolate
put it in the fridge, but not the freezer.
Nope, it lives in the freezer.
Okay, fair enough.
So that's pretty much it for this episode. Next week, we're going to be covering an episode called Point of View. Alternate reality versions of Carter and Kowalski are found in Area 51. Brought to Stargate Command, they start to deteriorate. However, returning to their own reality means certain death, as the world has been invaded by ghouls. Or goo-a-ools, or goo-a-oo-a-ools.
It's never good to be invaded by ghouls.
Yes. We have Carter with long, straight hair.
Well, we've seen her with long, straight hair before, haven't we? In
the season finale for season 1.
That's right, yes. Yep.
Where she was actually married to Jack.
Yep.
Or engaged, anyway.
Yeah, and of course, they all died out. So it was lucky we have alternate realities to keep exploiting.
The long-haired Carter. Yeah. And the wig department.
Yeah, just throw a wig on the actor and you've got a whole new person.
Mm. Or throw a load of age makeup on the actor and you've got a whole new character. He said, not referencing Daniel even slightly. Daniel playing himself as himself.
Mm. He works quite well.
Mm. Okay, if you want to contact us, if you're in the States or you fancy playing ridiculous toll charges, the number is 650-741-4283. That's 650-SG1-GATE. If you want to email us, it's gatecast@phasecast.com. If you want to download this or any other episode going right back to the one we podfaded after where we covered the movie and then Children of the Gods, it's gatecast.phasecast.com. Our Facebook group is... Gatecast, and you can tweet us on The Gatecast. We're on Podcast Pickle and Podcast Alley and iTunes, which is quite possibly where you got this particular show from. Mike, have I covered pretty much everything this week?
Surprisingly, that was well done.
On that note, I'm going to reinstall this machine, so if we experience slight technical hitches on Thursday, it's because I broke it.
Well, I'll say, get it right first time.
I don't think I'll actually really keep anything on the C drive. Or just erase the whole bloody thing.
It's always best.
Well, I did have some of the old recordings, but since you've taken over with Pamela, I don't even have those.
Yeah.
And I think at this point, there's no point in having raw recordings from early episodes, you know, unless we want to do something like, unless we get ridiculous, you know, when we start releasing CDs, Gatecast, the unedited edition.
Yeah. $9.99. P&P included. Unless you're in America, then we'll charge you an extortionate rate. Because that's what you do when we buy stuff.
You think ThinkGeek.com is expensive postage?
That's the only beauty of buying from Amazon. You know, they tend to have a flat rate, which is most of the time pretty reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening. Email us, tweet us, ring us, contact us. Hell, just pop down to my house and say hello.
Don't visit me. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.